Hi there, welcome back to the business of show business with me, Jamie Boddy. Today I'm joined by two performers who know a thing or two about being a musical theatre swing. I've got Amy West and Matthew Ives, who are the co-creators of MT Swing Life. So in this episode, we'll be talking about how to be a swing, what skills make a good swing, and all things the business of show business. Guys, how's it feel to be here? My first trio interview.
What? I know, I feel very honoured.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I feel like I should have got you sashes or something to be like the first trio.
No, party poppers. Like...
If we can get sponsored by Party Poppers, actually,
yeah,
that
great.
Would be good.
Yeah, great.
Yes. So before we dive into all the wonderful things that a swing is, both of your CVs are exceptional, looking down your spotlight. So let me just run some of them off.
Thanks, mate. Yes.
Okay, so we'll start off. So, Matthew, you are currently the show captain and swing in Hunger Games on stage.
I am indeed.
You've been ensemble and first cover George McFly and Back to the Future, and dance captain and first cover Lucas and Pugsley, and also associate choreographer on the Addams Family UK tour. Amy, you were resident choreographer and cover Katie and Fran at the Little Big Things, dance captain and swing on Jersey Boys, and swing cover Velma and female authority figure in Hairspray.
Yeah.
So there's not much you guys haven't done.
Maybe got a well-rounded on take of swing and DC.
Yes.
And all that
maybe
stuff
you need to do like wigs and makeup and then you're done. Every role covered.
I dabble.
Do you know what I mean? We dabble. Why not?
So MT Swing Life, where did you two first meet and then when did this spark come for like, right, there's a gap in the market?
So we actually didn't meet in, we trained at the same college. We both trained at the Ardenne Academy, but we didn't train together, did we?
Yeah, we were two, you were leaving when I was starting basically.
Yeah, so we just missed each other, but I'd heard of you and you probably heard of me as well.
I was like, oh my God, it's Amy West. Amy West. She did Elphaba in the second year piece.
Oh, I wondered how long I could hide that for. And it's now all out.
There you go.
And we've got the clip now.
You're welcome.
Don't, I had this like dodgy fringe. It was fantastic. But yeah, we heard of each other in the realm of the industry. And then I actually got dance captain on the Annie Show, the Annie Show, Annie Das Musical. Yeah. Because we'd done 6 months in town at the Piccadilly where I got brought on to be a swing. And then they asked me to dance captain in Toronto. And I was talking to my partner at the time and I was like, there is nothing online. Because this was before the generation of TikTok and it was just Instagram. And I was like, there is nothing online about being a swing. It's all about being the cover or the part or that's literally it. There's nothing that kind of opens that door. So I set up, I was like, what do you think? Do you think people like it? And he was like, look, try it, see what happens. And the amount of messages I got from people within the industry going, oh my God, it's about time someone spoke about this. This is amazing. This is great. I would even go down the pub at my local and people would be like, oh my God, you're MT Swing Life. And I'd be like, what? Am I an influencer? What is this? Can I have a free beer?
Make mine a double.
Yeah, literally. So I kind of used it to document moving to Toronto and transitioning from that swing dance captain and all of that in between. And then it also then filtered after Toronto into associates and I was taking auditions for the new and upcoming tour. So I kind of opened this Instagram account and just used it as documentation essentially. Yeah. And it kind of took off from there. And then you actually DM'd me on it going, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Matthew Ives from Ardenne. And literally said, I'd love to do a swing course. I don't know whether you thought about it. And of course I thought about it, but I was like, I have no idea where to start with it and how to go about this. And you messaged me, I think it was the COVID year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of over COVID. It was just as we were coming out of like lockdown numero uno.
Throwback.
Yeah, basically it was just, it was kind of the time where everyone started on social media going, oh my God, swings are the backbone of this industry. And interesting, like we have an interesting take on it and that we kind of go, it's amazing how people did suddenly start to really recognize what swings do, but it all felt a little bit disingenuous in the case of that people kind of went, oh my God, swings are amazing, but we're still no quite awareness of what it takes to be a swing. And I had just come off the back of being a swing on The Boyfriend at the Menier. And just before COVID, we were supposed to go to Toronto with it, where I was taking over as dance captain. And then we did a week of rehearsals and they closed it. And I went, I'll see you all in 2 weeks. Yeah. How wrong was I?
Everyone was like, oh yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks.
We'll see you in a bit.
Oh no.
Anyway, so yeah, so I kind of thought, I think it was the point where everyone was going, what do we do? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not open yet, but how do we, you know, make money? Are we teaching? Are we doing, and a lot of people doing a lot of online things. And it was just as we were coming out of that and able to do physical in-person things with a lot of obviously new measures in place.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went, I'd love to do a swing course and kind of teach people what I've found, and particularly like in the dance captain world as well, and thought, but I don't want to do it on my own because I think two heads are better than one. And yes, I messaged Amy and went, hey, I don't know if you remember me.
Loved yourself, Bar.
And went from that. We probably still have the message somewhere.
Oh yeah, we do.
Just going, hey, how would you feel about doing this together? And she was like, yeah, babe, of course I remember you. Let's do it. Yeah. So we met up and...
It was at the Donmar, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at the Donmar with the stage all like gutted.
It was eerie.
Yeah.
It was just empty.
Yeah.
And it was so bizarre, like walking into a space like that and being like, whoa, right, this is the reality of our world currently.
Yeah.
We hooked up and we just planned, didn't we? Our first one was Bugsy Malone, Wanna Be a Boxer.
And just came up with a routine, went, okay, we can have this many tracks in it.
Yeah.
Let's see if people are interested in this. And luckily it really took off and people wanted to learn, which I think is the biggest thing that we're always so appreciative of, that people want to learn. The need and want is there.
Did we have 25 in the first one?
Yeah.
Gosh.
And already we were having people come, like, so there was two people about to start in Moulin Rouge in town as swings. And they were like, we were like, oh, they actually really trust us.
Yeah.
Woof. You've got to deliver. And we were spending every day going, okay, so what do we do? It wasn't like, there wasn't really a plan, was there, on our first one? It was kind of flying by the seat of our pants whilst taking people's temperatures on the entrance.
Yeah.
But it was quite literally, today we need to, we'll cover this today, we'll cover that tomorrow. And by the end of it, it was like, oh, we've done it. There's something here. Yeah. Massively, wasn't it?
I think we were just really lucky in that we wanted to be comprehensive about it, because I think our biggest thing was that both of us kind of came from the ethos that some colleges do teach it, but a lot of the time it'll be either someone coming in with a swing Bible and that's about it, or if they're lucky, a more extensive project. But a lot of the time it'll be, let's just pull some names out of a hat and you learn a few tracks. And our biggest thing was, we're going, that's not it. And there's so much that goes into it in terms of cheat sheets, shadowing, if you're a dance captain, cutting the show, all of these other things that go into it.
Vocally swinging, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That aren't touched upon.
So we just kind of went, how do we approach this? So as Amy said, we kind of went each day, okay, let's look at cut sheets today. Let's look at shadowing today. Let's look at how to cheat sheet. Let's look at how to map. Let's look at mapping using StageRite software. So we kind of had this comprehensive thing, and we got to the end of the week and we kind of turned around, and I remember the first few, we did like little questionnaires going,
feedback
how'd
forms.
You find it? And luckily everyone just kind of turned around and went, it's amazing. We feel totally prepared for what we're going into, which we're like,
there's so many skills, and probably there's lots of performers that probably don't realize they have skills that would mean they would excel as a swing.
No.
Because sometimes, sadly, it's looked upon as less than, or, oh, you didn't get the part, you've got swing. But actually, arguably, the skills you need for swing are slightly higher than if you just do the one track.
And also, we found as well, like, as doing it along the years, we've got like an ADHD handbook now as well, which is an amazing resource that Matt done the main bulk of it, I'm not going to lie. It was amazing. Like what he'd done for neurodivergency in the ADHD handbook. But we found along the years that people with neurodivergency actually take to being a swing like a duck to water. It's unbelievable, because the amount of people have had come with neurodivergency, and they're like, oh, I feel like I can't concentrate, and la, 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 la. And they end swing week and they're like, I found it. I found what I can do. I found what I can give the industry now, which is...
It's a real superpower.
Oh my God,
It was born out of, and the whole guidebook was born out of one of our participants who we'd actually taught in college as well. And he turned around and he went, hey, look, I've got ADHD and I think I really take to being a swing, but do you know any performers or swings with ADHD? And we kind of both looked at each other and went, well, I'm sure we do.
You do,
Let's just have an ask around. And then from asking around, I was like, I think we can do one better than just helping one person go, hey, talk to this one person. Yeah. What I'd rather do, I was like, do you mind if you leave this with me just for a little bit? Let me talk to a few people. And luckily people were amazing in how many people did reach out to us and go, hey, yeah, I've been a swing, I've got ADHD, or I'm neurodivergent in whatever way, I'd love to. And we just kind of were like, give us your thoughts. And then we now, it's on our Instagram page. It's just a little handbook that we kind of both claim. We go, neither of us are neurodivergent, but this is all the words of people who are, and tips, tricks, anything that they can offer to help, just to kind of really reinforce that it is such a superpower when it comes to being a swing, because like the hyper focus just can help so much. And also the flip side of it, in terms of, by the nature of being a swing, you have so many different things to focus on and different tracks, that actually rather than getting bored or stuck in one track, your mind has to focus on different things. It was really amazing. And I was really glad that we could do that, only for one person, but hopefully for more people as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also pulling back the curtain on what a swing does, and actually realizing that these other skills, it may be hard work, but actually there is that return on investment. It's worth it. And for certain people, that's when they come alive and thrive, where that person may have thought, there's not a place for me in the industry, so I don't fit in, but actually that's great. So before we dive in more, let's quickly pick on two credits just so we can maybe see what a day in the life is. So currently in Hunger Games at the moment, as show captain and swing, are you just like volunteering as tribute all the time?
It's amazing. Like, it's a real honor and like privilege to, I think, tell that story that resonates with so many people, and unfortunately is still kind of so relevant in the current climate. But as a career thing as well, like to set up, I always kind of said, I want to set up an original show. And what a beast of a show it was to set up in such an interesting space, in that it's all in the round. There's like 14 possible entrances.
Gosh.
And then there's from the ceiling, there's from the floor. And then swinging that as well is a task within itself. But to be able to look after it as well. And obviously there's 50 million different elements in terms of like fighting, flying, movement, the show itself. It's busy. It's a really busy. And I cover 7 tracks in total.
Gosh.
That's just my covers. But then obviously as a show captain or a dance captain, you kind of need to have the awareness of the entire piece and what everyone does. So as much as I've got those 7 tracks for all the swings, bless them, the requirement also is that if you can jump into the ensemble bits of other tracks within it, that the kind of expectation is there that you can do that. So it is a big, big show, but very rewarding in terms of shows that I've kind of swung on before. Like it is the most rewarding show I think I've ever done in terms of being a swing.
Because as you said, there's the fight choreography, there's entrances and exits. There's probably lots of technical elements as well, isn't
huge.
There? So it's, you're probably on your toes quite a lot of the time.
Yeah, a lot. Or in the air.
And speaking of like in the round, the little big things, that was such a unique show in the space. I absolutely loved it. How was it coming on board for a new show as well and kind of working in that environment?
I mean, it was unbelievable, especially working with like Luke Shepherd. He works so quick as well. He's like, let's try version 1, let's try version 2, let's try version 3. Okay, can we do a meld of these versions? So for me, keeping on top of all that was like, whoa, especially coming back 3 months postpartum as well after having my first baby. It was like, wow, okay, I'm back in it. Here we go. But not just like working in the round, it was working in a really intimate space as well. Like Hunger Games, I mean, how much seater is that?
1,200.
Yeah, I mean, Little Big Things was 500. So it was a really intimate space.
Yeah.
So there was literally no room for error, really, because everyone saw it.
Yeah.
Because literally you had people right in front of you. So not only that, working with the disabled community as well, and where I was resident choreographer, trying to translate what we'd done to people in wheelchairs was another complete change of game. And also working with Mark Smith and Joseph Fletcher, who are both deaf, in part of the deaf community, which again was a completely different ball game as well. A lot of, especially at like places like the Olivier Awards, where we were so lucky to do it, and having to almost be a translator for Mark. Bearing in mind, I don't sign whatsoever, but doing that as well was just such, like with Hunger Games, you learn a completely different skill set in your communication skills and stuff like that. Like, it was amazing to work with that creative team. Like, really eye-opening, and working on a true story as well. It has a real weight to it with within musical theatre. Like, yeah, when you do a story that's kind of written and you do get attached to it, but when you've literally got the family there opening night watching their real life play out, it really carries a weight. And all of us had that, felt that duty of care to look after the Fraser family's story as well. Yeah. And to look after that as resident choreographer as well, it was a real team effort, that job. Like, yes, I was looking after it, but it was a huge, I've never worked on a job that was so team orientated. We all just adored each other because it came with that level of care.
So let's talk about some of the skills that make a good swing. You've also mentioned maybe some of the soft skills there, like communication, probably empathy, because if someone's out injured, you can't like go in there bored. You've got obviously acknowledge that, help them with their rehabilitation plan, come back into a show. So there's soft skills and hard skills. What are some of the skills, if you can isolate any skills, what are some of the skills that make a good swing?
For swinging,
yeah, because swinging DC is very different, isn't it, I'd say?
Yeah, I think as a swing, being able to exercise calm is a huge one, because
duck on water.
Yeah, we always equate it to that you know, this is happening underneath, but above, just because for your own mental health and sanity, you need to be able to have that calm. Also, I think I say to everyone a lot of the time, I'm like, it ain't that deep. I'm going to say it to camera. It ain't that deep.
It's not.
Like, we're not saving lives. And as much as we want to be excellent at our jobs, we want to be good for everyone around us.
We're only human.
And a lot of the time, we're doing a show. Yeah. As long as no one's getting injured, we're doing a show. But I think the biggest thing for yourself is to be able to allow grace and go, hey, if you go on for a track for the first time and 80% of that is correct and maybe 20% was just a little bit muddy, you go, that's a huge win. And also for everyone else around you, the calmer you are, the calmer everyone else is.
Yeah.
Because as a company, the worst thing you can see, if you see your swing panicking,
it sends everyone into a panic.
Yeah,
it ricochets. It ricochets. And also, if you're calm, it's weird. People are more willing to help you. Mm-hmm. When if you're not calm, people are very quick to then go, well, they don't know what they're doing. Like,
very true. Yeah.
They obviously don't know what they're doing. And then it sets people in a frenzy. When actually, if you're calm, people are more willing to shove with love and be like, babe, you're over here. And you're like, thanks, babe.
Yeah. Cause I guess no matter how much planning you do, sometimes you are thrown on like mid show.
Yeah.
You're gone on before you've done a cover run or a swing run. So it is kind of just be like, right, use what I know and just hope the rest, cause you are a team working towards the same goal at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, the first time, I mean, like my Hairspray days, like a nicest kid, you never really got a full run unless you were on. And literally after like halfway through the first number, you're like, not a mouth, like stamina wise as well. Like the only time you probably ever do, because even in a like a cover rehearsal as a swing, you're jumping into bits here and there. You never get a full track until game day, really. So the more calm you can go, and as long as you're organized and you get to a point as a swing and rehearsal where you're like, I just need to do it now. Because you do need to just test your mettle and go, how much do I actually know? And you won't know that until you do it. So you have to allow for the fact that you're going to make mistakes and you're going to forget stuff. Because like I say, you're only human. How many times have you forgotten your keys or to charge your phone or you've forgotten your lunch that you prepared the next day? Like, it happens. We are human beings. That's what you mean
and
by
a lot of the time
grace.
I feel like actually it happens. It's not necessarily your first one. Your first one, you're so focused and you're so like, I just need to get from A to B.
Yeah.
It'll be when you're actually a little bit comfortable, you've done a few, I always like equate it to like the Rolodex. I always think like people kind of go, oh my God, you haven't been on for that track for however long, how do you know it? And I'm like, because I've done it once, it's in the Rolodex somewhere. But things happen. Like I've gone on Hunger Games. I went on stage with Blue Lipstick during a training arena. I then just the other day went on with a yellow hair piece in my hair. And this one went, babe. I was like, I'm just going to go take that out.
Oh, I've forgotten like full grown beds on stage. Like literally just forgot I was on for that track.
Yeah.
And then I had a little kid come up to me going, I couldn't get it off. And I was like, no, it's my fault. It's my fault. And she was like, no, but, and I was like, it's my fault. I'm sorry. In the wing. Like, and I just grew up, like, you just get on with it. Like, yes, it's a fleeting moment. For us, it's like, oh my God. But for an audience member, they're like, oh, this song's lovely, isn't it? Oh,
that's the thing, I guess, isn't it? As long as you're selling the show, selling the product, and it's safe, is a success. Because if you're covering seven tracks, harmonies, there's so much that if you've not been on for 8 months of that, you're not going to necessarily get it 100% as hard as you try. Mm-hmm. But again, those soft skills of being a good swing is, as I said, moving with grace, be kind and moving on.
Yeah.
So what are some of those? So you've said there about being good under pressure, moving with grace. If someone listening or watching is like, oh, I'm really good at like organisation and retaining, are those skills that are valuable for a swing or DC as well?
Massively. Organisation is like prime. Like, just so if you're organised, you know exactly where your ducks are.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's just makes life so much easier moving forward rather than having everything like a jumble, then that your head's got to be a jumble. If you're organised with like your Bible, your cheat sheets or however way you learn, going on for those tracks is going to be like, oh, I've done the work. I've got it all there.
I think
ready
that's,
to go.
That's a really good phrase, actually. It's the skill is the organisation, and then the kind of phrase is do the work. I think that, like, we all know swings that are a little bit, oh, I can wing it. And that just scares me so much. But that said, everyone, each to their own. Like, I think both me and Amy are very similar in that we're very organize everything. We've got our cheat sheets that are color coded, that match our color coding on our maps, that match the color coding on your script. Like, everything is there because, like, again, Amy kind of says this probably better than I do, but it gets to a point where you just kind of see every track as colors and you're going, okay, purple, yes, I'm on for that track. It moves there, it moves there. And you can kind of just, I always think by doing, particularly as a dance captain or like show captain or anything, like, I always go with my Bible on all of my maps, I'll do all of the work. And then I actually hardly ever look at it again.
Yeah.
Because just through doing the work, sort of through osmosis, it goes in.
It's like GCSE mind maps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, like revising for GCSE, you are just doing that's what we say the Bible is. It's just revision, essentially.
Gotcha.
It's just your revision work. So then by the time you're on to shows, you just grab a cheat sheet. And because you've done the work for your cheat sheet, you're just grabbing that A4 piece of paper and that's all you actually need.
Right. So by cheat sheet, do you mean you've got your Bible, you've hopefully been on one a few times, now you've kind of condensed triggers that remind you of where you're meant to be or whatnot.
Exactly that. Okay. So like you'll end up with a cheat sheet that might be 5 pages on. You're like, I can't take this down.
Yeah.
But then by the time shows come up, you've literally got an A4 double-sided A4 piece of paper that you can just whip out and just take down in your basket with you down to stage.
Great.
And like you'll end it up being every single detail of that track, but then for some numbers you may only have 3 points, which then click you into that mindset of that person, of that track that goes, I'm partnered with so-and-so. I go to this number if it's like necessity. I get my prop from here. I get my prop from this person. It's just little cues that as you're getting changed, you can read the next number. Rather than thinking of it the whole show, you're almost cutting it down into bite-sized chunks as a swing. So you can go like step by step by step.
So it also sounds like some of it you need that on-stage experience. In fact, because when you train at college, you don't always have a stage that is mapped out with numbers, for instance. Mm-hmm. I remember when I worked at Tokyo Disney years ago, they not only had numbers down the front, they had letters. So they're like, you're on C5. And you're like, oh my gosh. But you just don't have that experience. Until you're in it and then you know.
Yeah.
And like that backstage etiquette and stuff. So it sounds like it's almost, you can prep. If you're a new swing, you can prep. I guess some of it doesn't happen until like you're on the stage.
Yeah. And also like when you've just hit press and everyone's kind of calm, we always say to shadow, which means then you get a full view of that person's track because you would have learnt what they do on stage in rehearsals.
Yeah.
But it's their backstage traffic that is the one of when to get out of the way, how a quick change works, because that dresser does that quick change in that way. And if you change that, it's going to affect the timing of everything. So where that person sings backstage, and that will all go in your cheat sheet. But we always say try and shadow like a week or so.
Half of the time, I feel like it's more, a lot of the work is more about what you're doing off stage than on stage.
Yeah.
Because throughout rehearsals, you learn everything. Biggest piece of advice is get up. Get up and do something.
Don't just get stuck in your notes.
Because you can...
Muscle memory is your biggest
You can literally get stuck in. And it's almost the fear as well that if you're constantly just sat there writing notes, that you're then suddenly going, oh my God, I need to get up and do this.
Yeah.
Get up straight away. Get it in, as Amy says, get it in the muscle memory, get it in the Rolodex somewhere. So then actually, by the time it comes to swing stuff, you go, oh, I know all the onstage stuff. I can look at my cheat sheet and go, yeah, I'm entering, like for me, I'd be like, oh, I'm on for steel today. I'm entering on door 4. I go to here in the hob line. I pass to my right. And I just look at it as in a section and I go, right, I know all my point to point. But in terms of the actual choreography that we're doing on stage, I know what that is. That's in the body. So it's that sort of thing of going, all the backstage stuff, you need to, if you can, shadow that, get around. So then you're going, okay, that's where that quick change is. That's
You've got
how that's
a full
happening.
Compass of what that person does, which is massively helpful.
Yeah. Because I guess also you're then fitting into the dresser's blocking, you're fitting into your dance partner's blocking. It's such a jigsaw piece. And I guess going back to that whole idea of doing it with grace and positivity, that if you're in slotting into the wrong hole, if you've met that with calmness, someone will move you where you're meant to be, as opposed to being met with that hostility or like flustering.
Like the biggest compliment I ever get as a swing is, oh, I didn't realise you were on today. And it's like that. Yes. That's what I wanted. Yeah. And it's literally at the bow. They'll bow with you and they're like, oh, I forgot it was you. And it's like, that's what I wanted. That's our job.
Yeah, and that sounds like, it's almost like a thankless job in a way, isn't it? Like, not all heroes wear capes. But it is that, the fact of like, you keep the show going.
Yeah.
And we spoke off air about dance captain, and sometimes dance captain swings that lines up perfectly, and sometimes they are separate roles. Sometimes you're good at one and not good at the other. And I loved your analogy of the whole I'm not doing a pyramid scheme, but your whole idea of like, well, you say it, look, you say this, but like looking at a company as opposed to your next job. Can you maybe elaborate on that? Because I think that's like really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, as a dance captain, it's generally, we always say a dance captain doesn't have to be the best dancer in the room. Yes, they have to know, they have to understand choreography and storytelling and detail, but they are way more about the company. You are the voice for the company, because you are essentially on that line between management and cast.
Yeah.
So we always say, I always say, look after your cast, not your next job. If you've got a happy cast, your next job will just come, because the production company will be like, oh, we had like, everyone was really happy. Like everyone just really got on with it. Great. But when you look after your next job in regards to like, you kind of don't look after and have the backs of your company members who you're meant to be looking after, and you're looking after that next job for you, actually your cast and the show is the ones that are going to really lag. So it's we're always like, you are the voice for the company, look after the company. And also you're part of a company as well with as a dance captain. You're not in the office with the producers and the directors and stuff. You're on stage with these people having to perform with them night after night sometimes. So you have to look after them, because if you don't, then when you're on stage, they're not going to be as helpful to you when you make a mistake. They'll just be straight on your back like, well, you're meant to know what you're doing.
Yeah. And we spoke about, again, off air, about that whole infrastructure. And sometimes, because you're a great singer, dancer, actor, you ascend to a level, whether that's company manager, choreographer, whatever it is over time. But you've maybe not had the training on how to be a manager, stakeholder management, empathy. There's so much. Mm-hmm. And I think as a dance captain, you have to walk that line, don't you? Being authoritative.
Yeah.
But then also being like, friendly and likable. It's like, it's a hard line to walk.
I think it's really hard.
One of the most difficult roles, because as Amy said, like you are part of the company, and like you have to look after everyone as a company and you are a part of that, but you are, so you're friends with them. I often, whenever I introduce myself, usually at like the dreaded, everyone's just going to go around the circle and say
a fun fact about you.
And a lot of the time I'll be like, hi. So like Hunger Games, I'll be like, hi, I'm Matthew Eyes. I'm show captain, therapist, because that's what you become. You need to be that point for people. That people feel they can go to you with issues, whether it's, you know, just a general, oh, can you tell so-and-so that they're in the wrong space, or whether it is bigger than that. You need to be trusted, but equally you're that person that also on the flip side of that has to turn around and go, hey, you know that time that you're messing about in that scene? Love you, babe. Please don't.
Yeah.
Like, and you have to be able to be that person that you are so respected by people that they will turn around and go, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's your job. Fair enough. Whereas if you lose people straight away, or you're too one way or the other, you can be so in everyone's pocket that you're like, lovely, but then you try and give them a note and there's no respect there, because you're there messing around with them, or you're so far the other way looking after everyone kind of above, as it were, that you've just kind of lost everyone's respect, and you're not then that point that they can go to. And that is a huge breakdown.
Massively.
Then.
And it's not just for your cast members, it's also like other heads of department as well, because obviously when you do a cut show as a dance captain, you're also trying to make everyone else, not just the cast job, easier. You're making like head of wigs easier, where, like what wigs that they're using, costume, where quick changes are, what's easiest for them, stage management. Like, it's the whole ship essentially that you're taking care of, not just the members on the stage.
And also, I guess, as dance captain and resident choreographer and roles like that, you are quality assuring the product. The audience have paid money to see a product that should be the same if they come in month 5 or month 10. The show is of the same quality and enjoyment level. And again, I guess going back to making sure that your company is heard, but they also see you as that support. People buy into products that they know, like, and trust. And I'm so big on branding here. And it's like, if you have gone one way or the other, the creatives might like you, but your cast might not want to work with you again. Or your cast may love you, but the creatives hate you. So it's finding that balance where people want to work. Like, everyone wants that second job.
It's exactly that. I mean, I always go in, any job that I've ever done, I go in with one goal. And that is just to be the one person that everyone, and I mean everyone in that building, on every department goes, yeah, I want to work with them again. Because then you've done your job. Like, you know that you have done everything you can. Like Amy touched on, like, it is so, we are, whatever department we're in, whatever role we're in, you are a cog in a huge machine. But it doesn't work without every single cog in that machine working together. And I think it's a really rewarding thing, particularly about, like, dance captain stuff, that you, and swing, because you're so supporting that machine working, it's such a team effort. And you have to constantly recognize that it is a team effort and look after the whole team.
Yeah, massively.
Do you feel that, and obviously you don't have to go nitty gritty into, like, your contracts, but are swings compensated financially in a pay bump than maybe just ensemble? You don't have to tell me, like, exact, like, figures.
Oh, but it's all on equity. So minimums are all out there. So
they do get paid more. And do you think they are compensated enough across the sector?
No, in the long and short, especially as a dance captain, we believe that dance captains are nowhere near paid as what they should, in a nutshell, essentially.
Yeah, I think that the skill set is huge and the job is huge.
And the
I think
pressure's huge. Yeah. What you're expected just to go.
Also, like, and I've said this to members of Equity, that I go, I think what's crazy at the moment as well is the disparity between, like, commercial theatre agreements and SALT agreements for the same job. And it's so hard because I understand that the markets are different. Yeah. So production is different. The numbers are different.
I mean, it's a business model.
Yeah.
It's a business.
But in terms of like for like jobs, like, how can you say that because you do this job in this agreement, it is not the same as this agreement? When actually, a lot of time on a commercial theatre, that's looking at tours and regional theatre. And I go, you probably don't have the support network around you in terms of having residents, associates there with you. You're probably left to yourself to essentially be dance captain / resident director / resident choreographer.
Also, your own personal support system you don't have around you either.
That's true, yeah.
You can't just go home and go, oh, that was a day. Like, you're stuck in, I don't know, Bognor. Like,
you're going back to your Bognor. You're deep to a barrel, and sometimes you just want to decompress, don't you? But you can't if your support unit is in London or Manchester or wherever you're from.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, because I think, again, as the whole point of this, I guess, is the value of a swing and a dance captain is so high, but our industry is still playing catch up maybe for those managerial roles. Because I guess maybe also you're in a show and you're DC for a year, and then you might not be DC on the next, or it doesn't automatically mean your next ride up, does it, in any of these roles?
The biggest jump I had was, I was associate choreographer on Annie, the UK tour. My next job was ensemble in Panto.
Yeah.
So literally it was like, both ends of the spectrum in the space of a month. And it was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Woof. This is the reality of it. Like you say, just because you're a DC or a resident or associate doesn't mean your next job is just going to fall into that role. That's just the way it is.
So obviously with your courses, you do training in some academic institutes. You also hopefully launch in a new course by the time this episode comes out, potentially. So head to your website to find out about that. But what business skills do you now implement as running the business that you think, oh, I should have done that as a performer, or that you now use as a performer? Because you're like, oh, because as performers, we are businesses.
That is such a great question.
And because no one teaches it, really.
No.
Or not from when we were training.
No.
But now I do, so book me. But it's like we are a business. We need to operate as one. Yeah.
Massively.
I think the biggest thing, and like, so Amy's better than I, but like the marketing of it is a huge thing. And especially now where we are in such an era of social media marketing, it is the biggest tool.
Yeah.
And trying to put out content to kind of
get the word out.
But I think the hardest thing is where we are both busy as well working, you're going, it's finding the time to produce said content.
Prioritize.
To keep it relevant and keep you in people's minds. We're very lucky that it seems to be there is such a market that whenever we do announce,
we sell out in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate it. because we also always limit spaces to 35 max, because we go, what we're trying to teach, if we do more than that, it's we're diluting the product, and we don't ever want to do that.
Scholarships as well, like we give out scholarships and half scholarships as well to make it accessible, totally accessible for everyone.
But I think, the biggest business sort of skill that we've kind of learning is the marketing of it. And I still say there's a long way to go in terms of what we can do to really get our names out there, such as this. Thank you so much. just to kind of get the word out and what we're doing, and trying to, you know, for us, we're trying to grow it so that one day we can go, this is the model on how to train swings. This is what all colleges should be doing to this level, whether it's us teaching it, whether it's, we know we have the wonderful Alex Rolls and Jessie Adelaide who teach for us
phenomenal.
On our behalf. And like, whether it's us sending more people, or whether it's us just going, right, this is now the model on how to teach this unit. This is what all colleges should be doing by standard, because we do have this kind of big ethos that we go, hey, a lot of colleges, no shade, teach swing, but it is just pulling names out of a hat, or they're not teaching all the other skills that go with it.
Like almost like the theory side of being a swing.
Yeah.
The theory side of like using stage right and using programs. Like we got sent a program, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Like was it last year?
I think
to trial out, and they wanted our feedback on it, and like getting that opportunity was amazing. But yeah, like using those kinds of different programs, how to cheat sheet, how to cut shows. Like when we teach people how to cut shows, they're literally like, what? Like, no idea. Because we also cut shows very differently. Again, we're at the ethos that everyone swings differently, everyone dance catches differently, as long as your toolbox is kind of jam-packed with all the knowledge that you need.
What's amazing, like on Hunger Games, we've got this, we work with a guy called Lewis Howard, who was... I want to say associate on Warhorse. And while he was there, he developed a whole kind of like Excel spreadsheet automated system for cutting the show that basically just puts in, you can kind of say who's off, put in who you want on, and then it will at least generate up all the baseline information that you have to, obviously we work together to put it all in, but going, this track at this point does this, this track does this.
That's sick.
That's amazing.
Honestly incredible. Particularly like for when I'm not there, to be able to at least... like our resident, when they're cutting the show, at least they can pull up a baseline of information that you absolutely need someone to physically go through, because then what you're doing is going, wait a minute, we don't have someone there, so who's going to cover that? Yeah. How can we change that around? Okay, if we don't have that, what's the knock-on of this? So it 100, I mean, it still takes me, like, if it's a huge cut, it can still take me like an hour to do it, but at least there's a base of information. But it's one of those things where I go, like, big up to Lewis, the spreadsheet is incredible, and I go, I'd love there to be a day where every show as standard has this system. Because also then as a cut, every department, because when me and Amy, as much as we lay it out slightly differently, the information's the same, and the way that we color code is the same. So each department can just look through a sheet and go, I'm looking for lighting notes. Okay, they're in green. Great. And you can just go through. And again, amazing thing that Lewis did is that I can type in LX and then suddenly all the formatting will be there.
Amazing. Gosh.
But it's trying to expand what we're, coming back to kind of the business question, trying to expand what we're doing so that we can also help other businesses and people with what they're doing to go, hey, let's all come up together and try and make this the new standard.
Yeah, you got asked to go into Unfortunate, was it?
Yeah, Unfortunate. Your Line April as well.
Yeah.
To chat to
which
their
is amazing.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and like I had an audition and the director literally said to me, can you talk to the whole team about what you do with your workshops? So the word's getting out almost naturally, but we just need to
One of the hardest things about our industry is that you have to be seen to be working, but also available to do anything.
Yes.
And it's that conundrum that everyone has. And we've got one quick question before we go to our lightning round, then I'll release you to go and swing your life. Does the swing life pick you, or do you pick the swing life? And what I mean is, for someone listening and watching and they're like, I want to potentially be a swing? Like, do you go in from the initial audition? Do you go in as an audition as an ensemble? Does your agent spearhead that? Like, how does it work if you want to be a swing or if you have been a swing and want to continue being a swing?
I think there's two ways of looking at it. I think for both of us, it was just our level of detail and how quickly our pickup was that initially got us into that kind of swing bracket in regards to like choreographers mm-hmm. and stuff.
Detail's a big one.
Yeah, detail's a huge one.
So they
one.
Would watch you in maybe the workshop, in the rehearsals
yeah,
for
and
it.
Yeah, an ensemble
right.
audition. An ensemble audition, they'll see that if there's a question asked, I call it meerkatting. If there's a question asked, I'm literally like, what did you say? Yeah, I got that. Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
so
got
even
that.
If it's not you asking, you're listening.
Yeah, so it almost that. Shows that awareness that
of
I'm in
room,
tune
yeah.
with the room, not just what I'm doing. Attention to detail, pickup rate, those kind of things. I think for both of us, it kind of just fell in the space for us. And now because we've got Empty Swing Life under our belt and the swing jobs that we've got, people just yeah. now like...
I think it snowballs, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, massively. But I think if people specifically want to get into this game and be a swing, I think that's when your agent comes into it and they're like, I really want to be a swing. And then that's when your agent could be like, do you have experience? No. Okay, let's like talk about this.
Yeah. Let's look at your skills and your packet.
Yeah,
how
exactly.
can we make that to market you as a swing?
But then also, no mean to drop it, but that's when our swing life thing, because now people have started putting it on their spotlight. I mean, we had one student who got asked about it in his Oliver workshop, his Oliver audition, because obviously J. Elster mm-hmm. was auditioning him and went, oh, you've done Amy and Matt Swing Life. How was yeah. it? And he was like, yeah, it was amazing. They had a massive conversation about it. And then they ended up getting swing.
Great.
Like straight out of the gate.
Because they can trust the product. Because you know,
literally.
This is why you need to solidify your brand, people.
Yeah. Yes. So because he was like very open and very like, yeah, I loved it. Jay then obviously knows us and our ethos. She was like, oh, great. We found yeah. our swing. So it can work like, yeah. in two different ways really, can't it? Like,
yeah, I think it's really about if you know that you want, if the swing life is for you
yeah.
and it's not coming for you, go out and seek it. Like Amy said, like you can push when you're being seen for something. If you're being seen for ensemble, you can have your agent, you know, say to the casting director, hey, just so you know, they're really interested in swing because getting people who are actively interested in being a swing is really difficult.
Yeah.
Similarly, like my first job out, I wasn't dance captain and there wasn't a dance captain assigned. And basically the person who ended up doing it just kind of asked for it. And instantly I learned, I was there like, oh, I've learned this lesson very quickly. If you want something.
Don't ask, don't get.
Yeah. So then my second job that I did yeah. was a similar situation. There wasn't one assigned. And I went, there needs to be a dance captain on this. And just went, hey, can I do it? And at that point I was there like, I don't need any extra money for it. I just want to do it. So it's on yeah. my CV. And they were like, yeah, great. But then from that, I then went off and did a tour where I was swing, on stage swing. And then coming out of that, I was doing panto. And I found out after getting the job where I was DC, they said, oh, you already had it before you stepped in the room. You just had to audition. But it was because the choreographer on that panto was a producer on the smaller tour where I'd asked for DC. And because of my work on that, they already knew what my work would be like. And then from that, the second year I did panto there, I was then assistant choreographer and DC.
Yeah.
So, and it's one of those things that I just think anything like that snowballs
just
and then...
I think sometimes you're told like, keep your cards close to your chest.
Yeah.
But actually sometimes people don't know what you want. You've got to show them. People don't know unless you show them.
You've got to play
your
cards.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Literally.
And I think also it's really important. I think, yes, not everyone can swing and yeah. that's okay. It's like... playing a part to me gives me like hives like that. Like we're all built for different things. But I think if you're an ensemble member, I think being a swing will just make you so much more aware
yeah.
about what happens and won't
yeah.
make you so like
yeah.
tunnel vision. I think it's such yeah. a useful skill to have.
Know
in, like,
your show, not your track.
Yeah, massively.
I love that. Yes. Yeah. It was sort of how you went slightly maybe like ensemble member. Is what you said. I was like, oh, she's in character.
Aww.
Right, last thing and then we'll let you go. So we're going to go to our lights, questions, action. Some quick fire questions and just... give me what's on top of your head. So I'll just go, let's take it in turns, left, right, left. So it's not always just on you. So starting with you. First question, what was your first professional job?
My first professional job was Ghost the UK Tour.
And my first professional job was, oh my God, The Nutcracker. It was a musical version, not the ballet, not the ballet. Yeah.
I was literally about to say like, Le Cage, wasn't it, babe?
No,
Nutcracker.
Nutcracker. At the Pleasant Theatre, Jazz Musicale.
You should have said Elphaba second year. But
yeah.
Oh no!
favourite role you've played or covered?
either George McFly, which was wonderful, or currently, I think the Kato track is really fun to do on Hunger Games.
Same to you.
Or Velma von Tussle, because, yeah. I mean, she's a badass bitch. Hilarious, yeah. As well. And iconic. Yeah, that was
That's
pretty amazing.
That's the first
amazing.
Time you've sworn in this. I'm really proud of you.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And now it's just going to be like, beep, beep.
Yeah, literally, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Most roles you've covered in a show or gone on for in a week?
Well, it depends. As a swing, the most I've covered is 8. As a darts captain, because you have to know everyone, probably 37.
Wild. Oh my gosh. Same to you.
As a like a dance captain, probably Hunger Games now, I think it's like 24 tracks on stage that you know. Gosh. Covered in a week. There was one time where I split track. I think it was 5 tracks at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, mine so was 6 in Annie. That like
one night. You may have already answered this in your current show, but hardest show to swing.
Probably Hunger Games. Yeah.
Same for you, hard show to swing?
Probably Hairspray. Not because the steps were hard, but just stamina-wise, because you went from doing it, sitting on your ass,
yeah.
To then going, nicest kids, pony, pony, pony. Like,
yeah.
Literally, the stamina for me was the hardest thing. Yeah. The pony show.
most comedic swing mishap. I mean, keep it safe, keep it PG, but something that didn't ruin the whole show, but it's been funny.
Oh, personally funny. I mean, trying to do partner work in both of your swings and you both end up forgetting it. Me and Marios, we were right in the front in the corner and we just look like boys in the ocean. Just like coming apart. And everyone's doing this lovely Charleston. And there's me and him like, I don't know where we are. And he just grabbed me. Yeah. Probably that, because we were just absolutely howling.
Say for you, most comedic mishap.
Oh, to be honest, I'd probably say it was the bright blue lipstick in Hunky. Like, as in, so we do the whole... tribute parade and we're all got these amazing costumes and then we come on for training arena and we're giving it weapons, great, and then there's me with a glittery blue lip.
You're literally Joey Tribbiani. Like,
yes. What is it? That Japanese
And I was just like, what is everyone like? And then someone was like,
Yeah. One word to describe being a swing.
Fantastic.
Exhilarating.
Pre-show ritual.
I don't get ready till the 5.
Same for you.
Brush your teeth.
if there was one other task in your life outside of performing that you could get someone to swing in and do it for you, what would it be?
Cooking, I think. Yeah.
Mine would probably be cooking. I hate it.
Yeah. But I love food.
Oh, yeah. Such a foodie, but... Yeah.
Mine is my tax. I'll be like, please, someone else do it.
Oh, that's a great one.
But if you could get a chef, that could also be equally as valuable.
That or my cleaning. I hate cleaning.
How do you relax post-show?
How do I relax post-show? I actually watch crap TV like Vampire Diaries or something like that. Something I can really just...
The Salvatore Brothers, you know, getting you through.
Right? Yeah. Right? Something I can just switch off to and come away from it. But yeah, a bit of a naff TV series. Yeah.
Same for you.
You know what? Mine's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like naff TV with a bowl of yogurt and granola.
Oh, healthy.
The games.
The games. Always in the blue lippy. last question. You've been on the podcast. Do you like to leave podcast size voice notes or a text message?
Oh, I think I'm a podcast size voice note.
I'm a voice note. Yeah. I love a voice note. But I find it really, because obviously I've got a little girl who, if I replied, would be like, "Mama!" And I'm like,
"Shush." Vampire Diaries is on. Shush.
Yeah, shush. Yeah. I love a voice note. Yeah, voice note.
Well, that's all I have to say. Thank you so much. So if you are watching this or listening to it, do not forget to subscribe, follow, and I'll see you soon on The Business of Show Business.